then spat onto the dusty road, then started and peered down by his boots.
Holy shit. Fucking tracks, Ryan.
Ryan mentally cursed himself for being so careless. He'd been so interested in seeing this motel, preserved like a fly trapped forever in yellow amber, that he'd been ignoring basic safety, like keeping his eyes open. Finnegan was correct. The thick dust on the blacktop was overlaid with the familiar tracks of the swamp wags. He knelt down to run his fingers lightly over the marks, then stood and scrutinized them from a different angle. He walked a few paces toward the imposing bulk of the motel, looking back at the tracks.
They all turned here. They come this far, then they go right around and head back toward the main part of the ville.
Yeah, I read it that way.
Maybe this Holiday Inn place marks the edge of Baron Tormont's secure territory.
Could be, lover. This gang runs part of West Lovelton. The Baron maybe hasn't enough Sekmen to come clear out the nest of rats.
That made sense. They could imagine no other reason why the tire tracks should stop so abruptly, about 100 paces before the tangled skein of waterways and narrow bridges that circled the building. A deep purple cloud moved menacingly along the southern fringe of the sky, its upper edge touched with vermilion.
Nuke storm on the way.
No.
What?
Not a nuke storm. I spent a summer here, way back in... My mind sort of trembles when I try and recall dates and places. I spent a vacation with Emily. Was that her name? Emily?
Only once since Ryan Carter had met Doc Tanner had the old man mentioned Emily. It was just another ill-shaped piece in the jigsaw puzzle of the man's mysterious past.
Go on, Doc. Please.
It was out near Baton Rouge. Rained. So we got busted flat, roads turned to rivers. Dark at noon, so you couldn't see a hand before your face. Lord, but that was a time. Emily cried on my shoulder, and she lost her kerchief that day, lace-trimmed. Sky like this. But there was a pool of clear gold light straight over our heads. We saw it, looking up like a road to the throne of the Lord himself. Emily wasn't much on religion. She saw an eagle in that light.
And the sky was like that? Purple and red at the edges?
All around. This eagle. Emily. Was it with her? Or later, after they trawled, and I recall a line or two of verse by Oliver Macon. The bird that flies above the clouds knows only the sun, and his storms are sun storms. Yes, that was it, I believe. I always thought that a pretty conceit. I'm sorry. I fail to remember why.
Lori squeezed his hand. Ryan was struck by the way Doc Tanner mixed moments of brilliant lucidity with long hours of near senile meanderings.
Okay, so it's not a fucking nuke storm. At least that's good news. But it still looks like the skies are gonna fucking piss all over us.
Best get inside the building. I'll go first. JB?
Yeah?
Bring up
the rear. I got it, Ryan.
The relics of several automobiles were parked in the overgrown lot at the side of the building. Over the main doorway, there was a kind of archway. Beyond it was a pair of double doors, one with the glass cracked clean across from corner to corner. Ryan, the G-12 at the ready, stepped lightly toward the entrance, sniffing the air like a prowling panther. The green scent of the luxurious vegetation filled his nostrils.
Should we go in, Ryan?
Fire blast. Why not?
The door was stiff, creaking on dry hinges. Ryan kicked away a pile of desiccated leaves heaped in the entrance. With the sun behind them, the group filed through the door one by one into the cool, dark vestibule. The air felt almost clammy on the skin. Last to enter, JB pulled the door shut.
Shall I stay here and cover our asses?
No. If there's hunters after us, this place is too big to cover until we've checked it out. Safer to keep together.
Yeah.
Be quicker if we split up. Maybe me, JB, Doc, and Lori could go one way, you and Christy go the other, and meet up back here in the... What the fuck is this big room?
Called the lobby, my dear Mr. Finnegan. By the three Kennedys, this place brings back such a flood of memories.
Tell us about them, Doc!
But the old man was already going on ahead, pushing through a second set of glass doors, with ornate brass handles shaped like the heads of twining alligators. The rest of the group followed him into the cavernous lobby. It was a place of deep and swimming shadows, with large chairs and sofas set about circular tables. The walls had paintings of the bayous, streaked with dark and light greens. To one side was a long desk marked registration. Across the lobby, two passages led off to the left and to the right. The one on the left carried a sign in a sinuous gold script. Cajun's Bar and Atchafalaya Dining Room. Ryan inhaled deeply, tasting old, old dust, stale and flat. He closed his eye and licked his dry lips, savoring the feeling of being inside a creature dead 100 years. It was a feeling he'd known before, when he and the trader had first discovered the sealed entrances to a redoubt, locked away since before the big winter. But this was different. This was not an arid military storehouse, but something that had lived and bustled with activity.
Okay, Finn. Christy and me will go left. Rest of you go right. Meet back here in about half an hour. Watch your triggers. Don't want to chill each other.
Four of them went cautiously off, vanishing around a corner. Ryan turned and grinned wolfishly at Christy, noticing that her long scarlet hair was shimmering and moving gently on its own, though there was no draft to stir it.
Hear anything? Feel anything?
Just a lot of love for you.
Nothing living?
No. Smell reminds me of how Mother Sonia used to take out our winter clothes back in Harmony. She'd open up the closets that had been shut tight all summer, and the smell... it was kind of like this, dry and musty.
Ryan walked to the long desk. There was a notice neatly printed on a board. R. Walston, phone home soonest. Under it, hastily chalked, were the words, "No show." The place showed every sign of a rapid and disorganized withdrawal, with clipboards, pens, cards, and small change scattered everywhere. At the far end of the desk, Christy found a round metal drum with a printed label behind clear plastic.
How far to your next Holiday Inn destination? Allow us to make your reservation.
See how far we come from Alaska.
Christy flipped open a slot on the front of the drum, revealing hundreds of alphabetically arranged rectangular cards. As she began to turn the drum, the cards quivered and began to collapse into tiny shards of dry paper, disintegrating in her fingers.
By Gaia, all rotted away.
Figure there'll be a lot of that. We found that natural materials like wool and cotton all rot in a few years, and artificial materials like plastic last longer.
Ryan, look.
Christy pointed to a rack of colored cards with shiny laminated faces hanging on the wall. They carefully examined the curling pieces, feeling how brittle and fragile they were, like some ancient manuscript discovered in a cave. These were brochures that described tourist attractions within a reasonable drive from the motel. Ryan had actually heard of some of them, like Disney World and Epcot. Many featured smiling families on holiday, wearing bright shirts and shorts.
Bayou buggy trips in swamp wags.
Another card showed some caves, eerie and dank, with an official of some sort in a buff uniform and wide-brimmed hat, pointing out a massive stalactite. Tuckalookahoochee Caverns, only 30 miles from Lafayette, first discovered in 1996, read the caption.
Maybe food in the kitchens. We found lots still usable. If it's tinned or free-sealed, it's edible.
They found a corpse in the Atchafalaya dining room. Sinews of gristle still held most of